Dr. Rob Congdon joins us, and he is going to give us some insight into what is happening in the European Union. A financial crisis, everybody in this world must be aware of it. The Greeks have decided that they do not want the austerity program put in place by the Eurozone leaders. Instead, they want to go to new elections. Now, this must have ramifications on all of Europe, and in particular, the member states of the European Union. So, Rob, talk to me about it. Tell me, in your opinion, is this the edge of the cliff?
Well, I've described it recently in a paper I wrote as the crossroad. I don't see it the edge of the cliff. I see it as a crossroad. And depending which way the EU turns and its leadership turns, could either lead certainly to the diminution of the EU or possibly the elimination ultimately of it, or it could lead to a very strong, powerful EU that we would see as paralleling what we would expect to see in the stage setting, if you will, of the final empire. It certainly could be their road to becoming a true empire if they chose the one path.
Now, which path would they have to choose for that to happen?
Well, the one they have to choose is very interesting. They have to get rid of this thinking that there is a nationalism, and that is that I'm British or I'm Greek or I'm Frenchman. They have to overcome that barrier, which is significant. We're seeing that right now, for the Germans believe that austerity is the solution. And obviously Germany, being the best economy in the EU, has set a true example of it. That's in contrast to the Greek thinking that says, well, we'll just spend more, and that'll get us out of it as we spend more money to get out of this problem somehow. And so the two nationalities are fighting, and instead of thinking about what can we do for the EU as a whole, the Europe as a whole, they're each still looking at their national viewpoint, and that is a severe hindrance. The solution, and that's why I suggest that the EU may take this, is to basically get rid of those governments, the fastest way they can, and get rid of the power of the individual government legislative bodies, and to take as a central government, make the EU the power that the founders of the EU dreamed of way back when they began it. That's the crossroads. Germany has made suggestions. They're all starting to talk about how to revamp the EU government and to give power, first of all, into a single man, like a president, and then to basically get rid of two of the branches of the three-branched European Union government. So if they choose that path, if they follow kind of the leadership of Germany, that's the path they'll go on, and I think they will diminish the crisis, or they'll actually use the crisis to give them that strong EU.
Now, let's, for our listeners out there eavesdropping on this conversation, let's define those three aspects of leadership in the European Union, or in Europe. Go to each of them and tell us what they are made up of.
Okay. The European Union, it's 27 nations that are united into this union. They have a three-branch government. They have a parliament, much like we think of parliaments. They elect the officials. They have a president of the parliament. They debate, and they actually vote to pass the laws in its final form. There is also what's called the European Union Council. That's made up of the 27 heads of state of each of the nations. For instance, Chancellor Merkel of Germany is on that. And they discuss issues. They obviously discuss heavily foreign policy for the European Union and general policy. So it's kind of a policy-making branch, if you will, with tremendous power in terms of exposure because it's the leaders of each of the countries. Then the third branch is called the Commission. This originally was to be called the higher authority. It meant that basically that's where the power is to reside. It's 27 commissioners or authorities who are selected by their individual countries, and it's really the elite political leaders of each country decide who gets to be on the commission. The commission initiates all laws and in reality all regulations and basically is the power. They have a president, his name is Barroso, and that is where the true power lies in the EU. They are not elected, and there are no checks and balances on what these 27 commissioners decide. So you have a three-branch government. They're supposed to work together to bring out laws and regulations. There are very few what you and I are familiar with in America called checks and balances. The decision-making is primarily the commission.
And Herman Van Rompuy is the elected or appointed president of the council made up of the 27 member states, correct?
That's correct. So what we have in the European Union today in reality is three presidents, one for each branch, two of which, that's Van Rompuy and Barroso of the Commission and the Council, they are the best known both in America and really throughout the world. And it's like many things you know, a household can't have really two or three heads. The European Union is struggling because they don't have a single voice speaking for the European Union, and that again is this pressure to move toward a single head and a single power that can act quickly and deal with things such as the crisis in Greece and now the growing crisis in Spain.
What about the German government? Or the, I guess, finance minister there in Germany has come out saying that the European Commission would be the way to go. Put everything under it. Make a EU government out of the European Commission. Have its head to be the leader or that super president that we've talked about. But will that happen? How, in reality, will that come about? And how long in the future before it could come about?
Well, I think it could come about quite quickly if the crisis continues to increase and spill over truly into Spain and some of the other countries, some of the bigger countries. They will say we've got to do something immediately. And the key is if they want to do it immediately, they can't send it to the people to vote. They have to decide themselves. And what you'll have is a lot of wheeling and dealing. And the Commission not only is the logical power of the EU to be the power instead of the other two branches, in reality, they control the bureaucracy, they control the regulations, so they could easily take the power also. So I think what's going to happen, I'm not, you always say it, you're not a prophet, you're not a seer, son of the prophets, nor am I. But in just logical looking at this thing, it would appear that as this crisis grows, and I think we're going to see this in the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, getting to a world crisis, not just a European Union crisis, they will say we have to act fast. We can't look to the people to vote for a constitution. We can't make those changes. We just need to put the power into a single person in the commission. And let's reduce the commission from 27 members to a smaller group, so we can have the power to do this quickly. You know, in World War II, the British had to deal with the war and many issues quickly because there were crises. They decided to create what was called a war cabinet. That was a group of men that they selected out of the parliament and said, you guys make the decisions, you represent the parliament, but no voting, no consulting people, you do it because we have to solve the crisis of World War II now. That's what I think is the exact pattern that will be followed with the commission.
And would that give opportunity for that super president to come into place then?
Oh, absolutely. Now, whether that would be a Van Rompuy or Barroso, neither man, if you take their characteristics, their personalities, neither man really, in my view, can take that position. Both men have characteristics and have been establishing sort of the grounds of that position. But my guess is to solve tensions of power, it could be a temporarily giving it to Barroso, but very quickly they'll have to find an individual who has the charisma to really take, if you will, this crisis and say, here we go, follow me. They're looking for a true leader.
A true leader, an individual to lead the empire. If that is not a biblical scenario, I don't know what is.
Oh, absolutely, and that's why these are exciting times. Paul said in Romans, we are to be awake as Christians to know what's happening and be aware of prophecy, and so it's hard not to look at these things and at least compare them to the Scriptures and wonder, are we really starting to see this being fulfilled or coming to pass?
Now, talk to me about, you made a statement a moment ago, the financial crisis there in the European Union and all of Europe is going to have worldwide ramifications. Why so?
Well, whether we've liked it or not, we've become a global economy. Our banks are cross oceans. They link to each other. The borrowing is across oceans. And so consequently, once, if you want to call the old domino theory, once money is needed in Greece, and as the people were running on their banks the other day, it has to come from somewhere. The European Union, financially at this point, is stronger than the United States. But there are limits. If France starts having serious problems, Spain is significant first. That'll be the next domino. As they start coming down, they have to look elsewhere for support. And because so many of American banks are exposed to European debt situations, not necessarily Greece, but other European countries, our country has to start pouring out some of the money, and it's going to be drained from here. And it's like any other big organization. When the drain occurs over on one side, it affects the entire thing. I think what we have seen is the global connections are so great in the financial world today, at least the Western world, that if things go on much further in Europe, we're going to see it here. Certainly the demand for goods from the U.S. to Europe will decline quickly, and it will impact America significantly.
Dr. Rob Congdon has just given you what you need to understand as it relates to this European Union economic crisis that we see unfolding. The focus has been on Greece, but it is Europe-wide in reality as we stop to think about it. And Rob just brought to our attention worldwide as well, a part of that scenario that's found in biblical prophecy for the last days. Rob, thank you so very much. This has been, because we had a little bit more time for you to explain things, I think very helpful for those eavesdropping on the conversation. Thank you, and we'll talk again next week.
I'll look forward to talking to you then. Lord bless.